An example of what kind of drew me in was I had a sister that was in the C squad or whatever they called it, C club or something at Casper High School. And I would go to the ball games in the basketball gym there, and I'd go up and sit next to Jack Slothauer and watch what he did on the play-by-play and stuff. And occasionally I'd hold copy for him or help him with his scorebook or something. So that it kind of just fascinating that you have two things going on, you know, but you're you're broadcasting and all that, but you're doing all this other stuff too. And that was what was fascinating to me.
Now, what era are we talking? I mean, are we talking 58, 59?
We're talking about that time, 57, 58, 59.
So this was right at the very beginning of Katie.
Right. I had a sister that was like 5 years older than me, and she'd just gotten driver's licenses and stuff. And the thing for teenage kids to do was drive back and forth, you know, from the A&W on the west side to the Brig. I think there was one called the Dump and one called the Brig.
Right.
Katie eventually set up a caboose kind of a thing, they called it, at, I think, the Dump restaurant. And there was a live announcer there at night. And I recall going in and filling out the little slip of paper and putting who you wanted to hear the song for and all that. And then you drive around until you hear it, and everybody in the car is high-fiving and screaming and carrying on. That was in competition with what we mostly listened to at the time was either WLS Chicago, KOMA, XERF out of Tijuana or whatever. It was just like, well, yeah, this is going on in our town, but really the big stuff. But then eventually, if I recall it correctly, Katie got on its feet, and they brought in some people, Bill Sims, Steve Brumell, some guys, other guys out of Albuquerque. I can't
Billy
name
Yeager.
Them all. They brought enough to draw us all in and with the unique stuff. Then we all started as young kids to say that was our radio station.
Because your uncle owned the station, you had some opportunities to actually be at the station and mow the yard and do some things along that line, too.
Through high school, I had a sweeper job at one of the elementary schools. It was right across the street from me, McKinley School, there behind Westridge Village. And that's what I did after school. I'd go up and sweep the floors. You mop the floors, emptied the trash. I don't know how it came about, but I think after I graduated from high school, I was kind of floating around doing stuff. And at a family meal or something with the Meanins, he mentioned that, you know, I should go down and talk to Bill Sims, who was, I think, at the manager by then. And they were looking for a custodian for their new building.
Oh, a janitor, 1400. Or was this for McKinley?
It was on Katy Lane. No, I don't ever recall being at Katy Lane. I don't know it was.
You mean on McKinley?
On McKinley, I'm sorry. Yeah. I don't recall being down there. I don't know how long they were down there. I know they were there, but.
Well, they were there from about 1959 all the way till 66.
That's what I did. I would go in and empty the ashtrays, sweep the floors, throw out the trash.
Pick out the drunks and put them back behind the microphone.
sit and watch, you know, occasionally. I got to build some relationships with people. And then I don't really remember how it happened. I suppose just like everybody else in high school or college, you start getting a little shot on the weekend, maybe the middle of Saturday afternoon or something. You know, it just kind of grows from there. If you're reliable, show up for work sober and all that good stuff, and they feel they depend on you, then usually you get more airtime, more responsibilities and stuff.